We have one scripture reading this morning. It is taken from Acts chapter 15, verses 36 to 41. It says, "And after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, 'Let us return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaim the word of the Lord, and see how they are.' Now Barnabas wanted to take with them John, called Mark. But Paul thought best not to take with them one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. And there arose a great disagreement, so that they separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the cities." May the Lord bless the reading and the hearing of his holy word. You know, breakups can be so tough. When two people reach the point where their relationship is over, it's painful. But it happens. People break up. Relationships end. Tragically, husbands and wives sometimes divorce. Friendships are sometimes destroyed. Families are torn apart, and even churches sometimes split. Breaking up is hard to do. There are a lot of movies and songs about breakups. A classic romantic movie line from years past would have this basic storyline: boy meets girl, boy gets girl, boy and girl break up, and boy and girl get back together and live happily ever after. And that's great, but in real life, they don't always get back together. Songs about breaking up can cover a whole wide range of emotions. I did a little searching this past week on breakup songs and on breakup lines from movies, and I want to share with you five of them that caught my eye. We're going to start with the songs. The first one is by Kelly Clarkson, and the chorus says, "But since you've been gone, I can breathe. For the first time, I'm so moving on. Yeah, yeah." No, I'm not singing it. And there you have it. I would say I think she's over the breakup. I'm not sure. The second song that cut my eye is an old one, and these guys won't be able to sing that one. Back in 1975, Neil Sedaka wrote a song titled "Breaking Up Is Hard to Do." And Neil was right. Breaking up is hard to do. And yet his song isn't a downer. In fact, guys, I've got the words. Do-do-do-down, do-be-do-down-down. Come-a-come-a-down, do-be-do-down-down. Come-a-come-a-down, do-be-do-down-down. Breaking up is hard to do. You guys sound good. You know, I'm not sure what though is really harder to do, to break up or to sing those words. Well, now that I've got you all in a doobie-doobie-down mood, here are some breakup movie lines. We've got three of these. The first is, a relationship, I think, is like a shark, you know? It has to constantly move forward or it dies. And I think what we have on our hands is a dead shark. And that was Alvy's breakup line to Annie in Annie Hall. And, you know, I have to tell you, I was once in a relationship like that, and after the shark died, it really stunk, too. The relationship. The second one, I love this one. I don't know if the movie was that popular, but I just love it. When I watch you eat, when I see you asleep, when I look at you lately, I just want to smash your face in. Barbara said that to Oliver in The War of the Roses. That was Kathleen Turner and Michael Douglas. But I've got a question. How did Barbara really feel? And then the last entry is one I think probably everyone in this room will know. It's probably the most famous breakup line of all. "Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn." Clark Gable is Rhett Butler in Gone with the Wind back in 1939. See, failed relationships have been a part of life going all the way back to biblical times. A few minutes ago, we read from Acts chapter 15, and in that reading, there was a breakup of a couple missionaries. Now, it wasn't a romantic type of breakup, but it was the breakup of close friends and partners in ministry. And it wasn't a good thing. And yet, God brought good out of that tragedy. And I want you just to think for a moment. Think about that. When has that happened in your life? When has something, a terrible breakup that was so hard, when has God eventually brought something that you could see good out of it? Think about that. Well, here's how it played out in Acts chapter 15. As we just read, Paul suggested that he and Barnabas head out on a second missionary trip. They wanted to go revisit some of the churches they established during their first missionary trip to kind of check up on them and see how they were doing. And Barnabas was ready to go. In fact, Barnabas wanted to take John Mark with them. Now, you might not remember, but John Mark was Barnabas' cousin. And John Mark was with Paul and Barnabas on the first missionary trip, but he went home early. Acts 13:13 simply states it this way. It says, John left them and returned to Jerusalem. Luke doesn't say why John Mark left. And if that's all we had, we might think, well, you know what? Maybe his departure was approved by everyone. But apparently it wasn't. In Acts 15:38, it says this. It says, but Paul thought best not to take with them one, that's John Mark, take with them one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. And his next words speak to the breakup. And there arose a sharp disagreement so that they separated from each other. Breaking up is hard. Paul and Barnabas were a team. On their first missionary trip, they traveled to 7 different cities. For many months, they were constant companions doing ministry side by side. We can assume that there was some friendship there. And then it all ended with a sharp disagreement. And the word that we translate as sharp there actually means something like a sickle. If you think about a sickle, it's that long curved thing and it cuts. It's very sharp. What that means is their disagreement was harsh and cutting and probably public. Barnabas wanted to take his cousin along. John Mark was with them on their second missionary trip. You might remember that Barnabas' name meant son of encouragement, and so it makes sense that he might want to encourage his cousin, his blood relative. But Paul wanted nothing to do with it. John Mark had abandoned them already once. Why give the guy a second chance? I mean, it wasn't good for the missionary team. It was a distraction to the cause of Christ. Now, scholars suggest that there might have been already some trouble brewing between Barnabas and Paul. And as I'm thinking about that, you know, if they'd have had Facebook back then, everybody would have known that they had a breakup. Thank God for little things, right? But the thought that they were maybe already having problem comes from Paul's letter to the church at Galatia. See, during their first missionary trip, the issue arose of Jewish Christians eating with Gentile Christians. And it was a problem because Jews weren't supposed to eat with Gentiles. But when Christianity came along, that problem should have disappeared. They were all Christians. If they were to worship together, they had to be able to eat together. James, one of the followers of Jesus, didn't want to be seen eating with the Gentiles. And he wasn't the only one. Paul wrote to the Galatians that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. Evidently, Barnabas didn't want to eat with Gentile Christians. And Paul's words to the Galatians there suggest that there was some tension going on between the two men. But whether trouble was already brewing or not, the disagreement over bringing John Mark caused a split. Paul and Barnabas were going to go their separate ways. And Luke doesn't go into the details. He doesn't tell us who was right or who was wrong because it doesn't really matter. You could put it this way. They agreed to disagree. And that's a reminder to all of us. You know, there are times when good Christians will disagree. There's going to be times when no matter how hard we try to work together, it's not going to work well. And it's not a good thing. But I think it's a reality. And when that happens, a lot of times we want to find blame. And searching for blame in a breakup is not always the best thing to do. A few years ago, I actually experienced a split that in some ways a little similar to Paul and Barnabas. And it happened here at church. There was a disagreement between some close friends and me. And my friends were partners with Mary and me in ministry. They were like family, and in the end, our friends left the church. And looking back, you know, you could, if you wanted, you could assess blame on both sides. But the fact is that we were all fighting for what we thought was right. And there was a lot of hurt on both sides. And breakups are tough. And they hurt. Someone who is part of your life is suddenly ripped away. And it's kind of like it leaves a hole. There's a vacant, empty place in your life. But the thing about it is when we have a hole in our life, it doesn't stay empty very long. Anger is ready to fill that empty place. Depression can slither into those holes. And guilt can drop in and fester. And it can cause that pain to last for months and then sometimes even years. Now, in the situation with our friends, I think all three were present. There was anger, there was depression and guilt. Life went on, but every so often, anger or depression or guilt would bubble up to the surface. And I'd relive the breakup. And it lasted for months. And I tell you that story because I know every one of you out here has experienced a breakup. Maybe we lived through the divorce of our parents, or a boyfriend or a girlfriend dumped us. Or maybe we had a really close friend and we didn't see eye to eye on something and that friendship fell apart. Or maybe our marriage fell apart and it just couldn't be repaired. Sometimes families have a split. We have an argument, we split from our parents, our siblings, our kids, or even our grandkids. And we wonder when that happens, how did it happen? And at times you want to just cry or you want to scream. I want us just to take a moment here and ask you to think about a broken relationship, a personal one. And then I want us to let it out. And this might seem strange for church, and I didn't try it the first service, so I don't know if it's going to work. But I want us to scream. I want us to scream with everything in you to let out the anger and the hurt and the guilt. Somebody's covering their ears. Can we do that? One, two, three. Ah!
That was the weakest scream I've ever.
That was the weakest scream Lola ever heard. Okay. There might be another chance later. It'll be a better scream. But sometimes that's what we feel like. We just, and I've done it, sometimes it just feels good to yell and just get that anger out of you. But it's a reminder also that breakups don't just occur in our lives, they occur in the life of a church. A sharp disagreement arises. People leave. And it could be over something serious like church doctrine, what the church believes. Or more often I've found that the split is over something that's really trivial. And a lot of times there's not a clear case of wrong or right. There's simply a disagreement. No matter what causes a breakup, it gets us. It hurts. Sometimes a breakup of a relationship can actually change our attitude towards life. We decide, you know what, we're going to put up walls around us. And we're not going to enter into any new relationships because we're afraid to put ourselves out there again because we don't want to get hurt. I had a pastor several years ago who warned me not to be friends with anyone in the church. In his thinking, he said it was, he didn't come right out and say this, but it was better to be isolated than to be hurt. And I remember this very well because I told him, I said, I can't do that. Most of my friends are and always will be people in the church, and isolation is never the answer. We can't let past hurts from keep us from building new relationships. God created us for relationships. First, we're to have a relationship with God, but he put other people in our lives for the purpose of relationship. All the way back in Genesis, God said it wasn't good for Adam to be alone, and so he created Eve. The problem isn't the relationships. The problem is people, because we're all sinners. When you put two sinners together in a friendship or in a marriage, there's going to be some problems. But it's worth the risk. It's worth the risk. It's worth the risk because God is good. Jesus is with us. God can and will bring good things out of the most tragic of circumstances. We say this a lot, but God might not take away the pain, but it'll help us move forward. He will carry us. God's mercies are new every morning, and God will bring us new opportunities. In the verses right after that breakup of Paul and Barnabas, we read, Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and departed. And then it says, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord, and Paul went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. There was a breakup. It was a bad thing. But instead of there just being one missionary team going out, the split resulted in the doubling of the missionary effort. Now you had two teams. They could cover more ground. They could reach more people. God used a really, really bad situation to grow his kingdom and to save people. And the new people became missionary leaders. Paul chose Silas to be his new missionary partner. And if you look in the book of Acts, Silas doesn't even show up until just a few verses before this breakup happened. And suddenly now he is Paul's new teammate. Paul would also add a younger man to his team. Acts 16 says that Paul came to Derbe and to Lystra, and a disciple there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. I'm assuming he wasn't a Christian. Timothy was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium, and Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him. And we could see the results of what happened to that in Acts 16:5. It says the churches were strengthened, they were strengthened in their faith, and they increased in numbers daily. When people leave our life, when they leave our ministry, when they leave our church, God typically brings in new opportunities and new people. He may not do it right away. When someone leaves our church and they go and join another church, they bring the knowledge of their past experiences from their old church to help the new church. God provides new opportunities to grow his kingdom. The church that those people left might have a hole, but that hole can be filled with a new person being given a new opportunity. And that's exactly what happened with our friends who left Bethesda. God sent our old friends to a brand new church plant. I recently met the pastor of that plant, and I got to tell you, he is a great guy. He's a man of God. And he told me he appreciates the faith and the experience that our friends have brought to this new church plant. And we weren't left with a loss that couldn't be filled. New people came into Mary's in my life, and we love them as much as we love our old friends. And as I look at you guys, this congregation, I can look out there and I can see how some bad situations have created some new opportunities. Some of you are serving because other people moved on. And if a breakup was involved, it wasn't a good thing. It's never a good thing. But God brings good out of the bad. God's work still goes forward. Our broken relationships are not going to stop God from moving, and that's a blessing. And as for Mary and me, God blessed us with reconciliation. Mary and I would occasionally run into our old friends. And at times it was a little awkward, but we were very friendly. Still, though, it took a 50th wedding anniversary party to actually heal those old wounds. Our friends were at the party. And Mary and I found ourselves sitting on the porch with our old friends. We talked for a couple hours about what had happened. Mary and I explained why we did what we did, and our friends did the same. We apologized to each other. Forgiveness was offered, it was received, and the relationship took its first steps towards restoration. It was good. God made it happen. The healing continues today, and I can tell you that, you know what, the friendship's not quite the same. It may never be the same, but it's still good. God makes reconciliation possible. It's possible. But reconciliation is not guaranteed. All you have to do is look at Paul and Barnabas. There is no record of the two of these men ever reconciling. As far as we know, they never did ministry together again. And that's sad. But unfortunately, it happens. When a friendship or a marriage ends, or when people leave the church, reconciliation may not happen. And sometimes that's okay. And it's okay because if someone hurt us or they hurt the church and they don't repent and change their ways, the relationship may never heal. We forgive, but we don't open ourselves up to being hurt again. But other times, reconciliation happens. And when that happens, it's great. What was broken is mended. And that's what happened with our friends. That's what happened with Paul and actually John Mark, the one who left the missionary trip. And there's actually evidence of that found in some of Paul's letters. If you go to Colossians 4:10, Paul writes this. He says, Aristarchus, who is in prison with me, sends you his greetings. And so does Mark, Barnabas' cousin. As you were instructed before, make Mark welcome if he comes your way. Then in 2 Timothy 4:11, Paul wrote this. He said, Luke is alone with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry. And then finally, in Philemon 23 and 24, Paul says, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings. And so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. Remember, Paul didn't want anything to do with John Mark. He didn't want to take him on a trip. But now Paul said to welcome Mark. He said John Mark was useful to his ministry. Paul called John Mark his fellow worker. And John Mark went on to write the Gospel of Mark. God brought reconciliation. God brought something good out of a bad situation. God is in the business of reconciliation. You know, if you think about it, the most tragic breakup to ever happen between us, and I'm talking about all of us, happened between us and God. It first took place in the Garden of Eden. And because of what happened in that garden, we all continue to alienate ourselves from God. Our sin is a barrier, it's a wall between us and God. Our sins hurt God. It ruins a relationship. And it hurts us. And Jesus knows the pain of our broken relationship between us and God, because that's why he went to the cross. And on the cross, Jesus was actually temporarily separated from his Father as he took our sins on himself. But his death paid the debt of our sin. Jesus made reconciliation with God possible. When we repent and when we put our trust in Jesus, we're welcomed into God's family. What was broken has been restored. Our relationships with people, they're always going to have times when they may get a little rocky. But our relationship with God is strong because God loves us. And it makes us want to shout for joy. And see, I couldn't leave us today just shouting once in agony. And so Lola's back there, and she wants to really hear us shout for joy. Okay, we can say praise God, we can say whatever we want, but on three, one, two, three. Hallelujah! Woo! Was that better? That was better, okay. Amen.